for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, December the 31st, 1992, New Year's Eve service. This is tape three of three tapes of Colonel Speed Wilson of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Well, from what we've been hearing and what I've gathered from every talk, and it's really beautiful how these follow a theme, is all the way from the good news that it's going to get worse and worse to the fact that we're going to be overcomers and that God's going to see you through. All the examples in the Bible is, He always saw them through. And all of those, and I was reminded, and I want to speak unto you in a parable. It seems that there was a prisoner over in the Soviet Union up in Siberia, and he was going out in the deep of winter to cut his quota of wood in the Siberian. And as he's walking along, he happens to see a poor nightingale that's frozen. And it's laying there, and he picks it up, feels it, and sees that it's still breathing. So he thought it's such a beautiful bird, always liked its song. So he picked it up and opened his jacket and put it in his armpit. Well, that's pretty bad, I would imagine, a woodcutter's armpit, but at least it was warm. And goes along the way, he comes upon a great big steaming pile of, in Russian they call moose plop. And in Texas we called it something else, but he suddenly remembered his mother had told him, if your feet ever get frozen or frostbitten, then it works. Remember, we told us, we were told that in West Texas too, as cowboys, and although we didn't have any moose plop, we had one or the other. And it's about the same temperature, I'd imagine, about 100 degrees. So he remembered. So he took the little nightingale from under his armpits and he put it in the moose plop and worked it up around the little nightingale's neck and stood watching, and the little nightingale blinked its eyes and obviously was coming to life and looked at the woodchopper, and he was so elated he let out a beautiful song. And a bear jumped out of the woods and grabbed him and ate him. Now the lesson of this parable is when you find yourself up your neck in moose plop, the one who puts you there may not be the enemy. Remember, God does put situations. And the one who rescues you may not be your friend. And when you find yourself up to your neck in moose plop, keep your mouth shut. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blinding doctrine. Blinding doctrines are you on the road to Emmaus? Well, the first thing that the Lord said before he started answering the questions about his coming and the end of the age, the first thing he said, let no man deceive you by any means, because there will arise many false Christs. And even the elect will be deceived, if that be possible. So, we should take heed to that, and that would be a sign of the times, really. When you see all these false prophets and false messages and heresies being taught, all that sort of thing, and believe me, there are a lot of them. Now, I'm just going to summarize the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, but for the tape part, Luke 24, beginning about verse 9. It goes like this. Everyone knows it. It was after the Lord had been crucified and resurrected, and these two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, And the Lord comes and he walks along beside them, and the scripture says in the King James, and their eyes were beholden or blinded, and they knew him not. Why, as you walk along here so depressed and you commune one to another, what's the problem? And one of them says, well, you must be a stranger in Jerusalem, that you didn't know that we thought we had found the Messiah, but he didn't reestablish the nation of Israel. Now, that was a very popular doctrine. Particularly if your country is occupied by foreign troops, you would be looking for, if you knew the scriptures, you'd be looking for the delivering Messiah. Now, it's in Amos and it's in, well, it's all throughout Isaiah and Ezekiel and Amos that there would again be a nation, Israel. And also you remember that was the last question he was asked before he returned to the Father. They said, is now the time you reestablish the nation or kingdom of Israel? And that's when the Lord said, it's not that you should know the times nor seasons of when there will again be a nation of Israel, but you wait here in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit, and then you will have the power to be my witnesses. Now, we have quite a few false doctrines just like that. They had set up a condition that the Messiah had to fulfill. They even suspected the time frame. Then when the Messiah came and he didn't do what they thought he should do, then they didn't recognize him. But he walked along with them, and this is beautiful, and he covered the scriptures that revealed himself all the way from the law to the prophets. Too bad Glenn wasn't there and got a video of that, or an audio. That would have been a good teaching. Well, there are a few of them today. Brother Charles Trommler referred to a few, and I thought that might be my clue to amplify. This is not going to be anything new to him, not to some of you. But one he alluded to is this foolish saying that the temple is to be rebuilt over in Jerusalem. And no less than up on the Mount of Olives, not the Mount of Olives, but up on the sacred mountain there where the mosque is now sitting. Although people who know say that the temple could be rebuilt without disturbing the mosque, because they know where the Holy of Holies is located, and the mosque would be in the outer court. And isn't that interesting? Revelation says, don't measure the outer court. I've given that to the heathen. let's don't start a new church on that. But some churches started on less. But by the way, one dear brother was asked, what is a denomination? And he said, well, as near as I can figure out, that each denomination receives a truth. And they accept that truth like, you must be born again. Bless God. And the first pope was John the Baptist. But anyway, and there's a truth. But they stopped there. And if you try to go any further than that, then you're clearly vanilla. Then from John Wesley and many others that said, no, there's a second work of grace, and we accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But then glory to God, they know they've got it, and they right there. And so he said, as near as I can tell, a denomination is a tombstone past move of God. And that's about right. God is moving, and you can stay there if you want. We'll bleach in the wilderness. Well, the temple being built. I think that was the most foolish thing when it was going on. We happened to be in Washington that time, and many people wrote and asked what I thought about it. I told them to forget it. And but they went ahead anyhow because it was so exciting. The story was that all this depended on where you were from, whether it was Tennessee limestone, Arkansas limestone, and Chuck mentioned some other limestone today. Well, I was on I was a delegate to the Diocese of Washington Episcopal Church, and we knew the stones that were cut were there, but they were for the cathedral in Washington, and we're always trying to figure out how we could pay to get them from there to here. But so that's the way it was. So. If any of you have even seen a picture of the Holy Land or been to the Holy Land, they do not need to import stone. Absolutely foolish. They could ship us a few if we'd exchange topsoil for it. But so, and here are the scriptures those people give. Acts 15:16. After this will I return and build again the tabernacle of David. Well, and Amos 9:11. But 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, and David prepared a place for the Ark of the Covenant, and he pitched a tent. Not many rocks in the tent. But what was going on in that tent? Praise, glory to God. The tabernacle of David is right here when we stand in praise and praising God. And he's rebuilding the tabernacle of David filled with praise. Well, and of course, we know that when the Lord was crucified, the curtain between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, it was clearly that by the writings, was rent from the top to the bottom. It gave us direct access to the throne of God. Come boldly to the throne of God. And you know all the scriptures on that. That's Hebrews 4:16. Now we come to the one that the temple has to be rebuilt because the Antichrist has to sin and all that. And Chuck touched on that today. And once I picked up the difference by Young's and Strong's Concordance that there are at least two words and maybe more that are translated temple. The naos, and I'm not a Greek scholar, and I know that isn't where it's from, and the hieron. Jesus stood up in the hieron. Well, that's brick and mortar and so forth. But what know ye not that ye are the naos? It's different. Well, that's the word that appears in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means. Well, there it is again. For that day shall not come until there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed or exposed, and the son of perdition, who shall exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that as God he sits in the temple of God, claiming himself to be God. And he's sitting in the naos. Now, theomatics, some of you know by Lucas and Washburn, 181. I thought it was a great book because I figured out a few things that they proved mathematically, and we'll get to some of those in a minute. Not what they did, but I knew that the Greek and the Hebrew alphabet were how they did mathematics in those days. And they said that statement, the man of sin, the son of perdition, is neuter gender. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means it's neither male nor female, or it might be male and female. I would prefer it to be both, seeing as how it would be. They came to the conclusion that it had to be talking about the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches, and that's pretty close. Now, Acts 7:48 says, the Most High God, El Elyon, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, dwells not in temples made with hands. Isn't that clear? Acts 17:24 says the same. 1 Peter 2:5, a spiritual house built of living stones. And, of course, you are those living stones. 2 Corinthians 6:16, ye are the temple, naos, of the living God. God has said, I will dwell in them. By the way, that's repeated six times in the Old Testament. There's no big deal. Look in the back of your youngs and tell. I used to really get snowed with these people. You have to say, let's appear 318 times. And I thought, great. I get to see the guy counting them. No, he just looks in the back of the Young's Concordance and it tells him how many times it appears. They call that a snow job. Know ye not that ye are the naos of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man defile or destroy this naos of God, him will God destroy. For the naos of God is that temple, and it is a holy temple, and that temple or naos you are. Now, the hieron, we've already done it. Now, the first time I was ever moved on to give a word of prophecy or whatnot outside of St. James Church, where Ruth and I were, and I was a senior warden off and on from various times, and someone had told me that they had a large charismatic group over at the University of the Catholic. Well, I had my opinions of that, so I went over to check it out one night. And here they were, about 500 gathered around in an amphitheater, tiered amphitheater, and three or four Roman Catholic priests down in front and playing guitars and having a good time. And here they were going through this all this stuff about the temple being rebuilt. Now, I didn't know what I'm telling you now. I didn't know any of this because that just wasn't one of my main interests at that time. And finally, the Spirit of the Lord just moved, and I got up, and this is it. I can remember a word of it. It says, indeed, in these days I am building a temple, but it is a temple of living stones, and you are those living stones, and the mortar that binds these living stones is that love that you call agape, and it is in this temple that I will live and move and rule upon this earth, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I still get Holy Spirit bumps. They're not goose bumps, because the goose ain't got nothing to do with it. But now I know. What a promise. Well, it says that he sits in the temple of God, claiming himself to be God. Well, if you're in this temple saying, bless God, I'm going to do it my way, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. So if you're saying, bless God, I'll do it my way, then you're sitting in the temple of God proclaiming yourself to be God, and you're on your way. We've been looking for the Antichrist, and he's been between our ears all the time. By the renewing of your mind, coming even to the end of your faith. Isn't that interesting? I wrote Ken Copeland some time ago, and he had asked me to let him know what people were saying about him, but it didn't seem to make much difference. But anyway, one was he asked me if I felt the faith message, sure and simple, was an end-time message. I told him, sure it was, because the Scripture says you'll come to the salvation of your soul even to the end of your faith, or at the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So when you put on the mind of Christ, and we're in that process, then you end up like Jesus. Jesus didn't have faith. Isn't that a shocker? Because he knew. And when you know, faith is not involved. He didn't stand in front of Nazareth's tomb and he said, in the faith, I proclaim. He just said, come on out, Nazareth. Yeah. So, and he knew. So if you know, I know some people, and this is just beautiful here. Man, our lives, you never knew us before, but the word of wisdom that was coming forth to Ruth and I was as if you had known us all of our life, all the things that were named. Just, it was an open book, but you didn't know that. But that has to be God, as I told that if people had known Ruth and I all those years and were heathen or unbelievers, and then come in here and see you people that don't know either one of us reading us like a book. Well, that's wonderful in one way, but it can just scare the devil out of you. Hallelujah! As the saying goes, and I agree, to hell with the devil anyway. Well, hallelujah. So you're sitting in the temple proclaiming yourself to the God. Well, that was... Now we want to get down to one that there's so much goofy stuff based on that you just can't imagine how much stuff is based on, as Charlie referred to, as the 70th week of Daniel. There's more garbage based on that than you can imagine. We just talked about the temple being rebuilt. That isn't it. But if the Lord comes and walks with you and says, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, oh, get off it, man, you can't be. They haven't built the temple yet. Well, you're on the road to Emmaus. Can you imagine a greater abomination than to rebuild the temple and start giving sacrifices again? That would be a second fulfillment of the Lord's prophet, as the prophet Daniel has said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. So, and the Antichrist sits in this temple. They also, that's Daniel 9:27. Jack Van Empty just goes crazy on that one. He quotes it, but it doesn't say what he says it says. And the 70th week or a 7-year period of Daniel is in the future, baloney. And the Antichrist makes a 7-year treaty with Israel and he breaks it in the midst of the treaty. Not so. And there's 7 years of tribulation. 7 is never associated with tribulation in the Bible. And the European community is the old Roman Empire, starts tomorrow. And the flyaway escape thing. I don't think we have to do that. But we'll start off with the 70 weeks of Daniel, of which they say the last one is future. I'm just going to read through it briefly. You can open your Bibles if you'd like. And I'm just going to repeat the verses because all of it's out of Daniel 9. Daniel 9, 2. In the first year of the reign of Darius, Daniel understood by the scriptures the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Jeremiah. He's reading Jeremiah 25:11 and Jeremiah 29:10. That God would have Jerusalem desolate for 70 years. Please underline desolate. That's the key. Desolate. Void. Nobody there. No life. Everybody's gone. And I'd never heard anyone else teach on this, and I picked up on that word. Verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And if you want an intercessor prayer, just read the rest of it. Right on down. And now verse 20, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God. Then it says, and Gabriel came to Daniel and gave him understanding of the future of Jerusalem and Messiah the Prince. Verse 24. 70 weeks or 77s are determined unto the people and upon the holy city. First, it's 7 things going to be accomplished in that 70-week period. To finish the transgression, well, Jesus did that, Hebrews 10:12. And to make an end to sin, Jesus did that too, Hebrews 9:26 and Hebrews 10:18 and John 1:29. And the third one, to make reconciliation for iniquity, Jesus did that, Hebrews 10:17. And four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Well, we know Jesus did that. And five, to complete the vision. Well, he certainly did that. He was the fulfillment of that. And number six, and all prophecy. And seven, to anoint the Most High. Well, he certainly did that. Now, we could go and read all of those, but I've given them to you, and most of them are out of Hebrews. I think, yeah, most of them are right out of Hebrews 10, then right on down. Now then, verse 25. Knowing therefore and understanding that from the commandment to build again Jerusalem until Prince Messiah, or Messiah the Prince, would be 7 weeks and 62. That's a total of 69. You can add that up. These people conveniently forget that first 7 weeks. The street and the wall shall be built even in troubled times or times of tribulation. Well, Daniel showed Cyrus that it was written in Isaiah 44:28 that Cyrus was to build or rebuild this. All this sort of thing, and God even spelled his name right and said that his right arm was shorter than the other, was withered. And you can imagine that Cyrus was pretty impressed with that. It was written 200 years before he was ever born. And we could on and on, a lot of scriptures on those type things. But now then, verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, don't forget it was 7 weeks before it, 69. So after the 69 weeks shall Messiah the Prince be cut off or crucified, but not for himself. Well, was he? Sure he was. Then there's a parenthetical phrase that says, and after the Messiah the Prince, the people of a prince, another prince, shall come after Messiah the Prince is crucified, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be accomplished by a flood. We'll see it's an overflowing of troops. And the end of that war, see it was troops, it shall be desolate again. Well, we all know that Titus did that in 70 A.D. Then it refers back in verse 27, back to he. And he, Messiah the Prince, shall confirm or renew or reaffirm, that's amplified, the covenant with many for 1 week. And that would be the final 70th week. And in the midst of that week, after 3.5 years, he, Messiah the Prince, shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Well, Jesus did that. Hebrews 10 verses 9 through 11 said that he was a full and sufficient sacrifice for all the sins, and it even points out that those people are still up there doing all that stuff, but God's not accepting it. So he rendered the sacrifice null and void, and for God's purpose, it had ceased. Antichrist has nothing to do with it. This is hideous. These people make Jesus Christ out to be the Antichrist. And they do a whole lot of other stuff with it also. And where did you read in there that that Jesus Christ, of course they say it's Antichrist, made a covenant with Israel? No, he made a covenant. Jesus Christ, Prince Messiah, made a covenant with who? Many. How many is many? Whosoever will. Whosoever will. And you know, I've never heard Israel called whosoever will. It's just many. Now, I pulled a little rinky just to look it up. Covenant, the word covenant appears 318 times in the Bible, and the devil never made a covenant. God is the covenant maker. The devil's ministry, as you know, is to deceive, to destroy, to kill, and all of that. That's quite a ministry, and he does it rather well. So that blows that thing right out of the water. Now, the Lord was crucified in the midst of the 70th week, and I got a letter from a Bible chronologist, and he says that Peter ended up at Cornelius' house just before the end of that week in the last 3.5 to take the message to the Gentiles. My joke has always been, they said, well, how could a colonel in the Marine Corps know the Lord and get baptized in the Holy Spirit? And my answer is, if the Bible had stopped right about Acts 17, the only way the Gentiles could ever get baptized in the Holy Spirit was to join the army, because Cornelius was a lieutenant colonel. So he was a battalion commander in the Marine Corps, that's a light colonel. Now, we can start a church on that and get all the soldiers to come. Well, so the foolishness they play with it. Now I want to show you some calculations on this whole thing. By the way, you got to remember now, when I first heard that there was a gap, that there was approximately a 2,000-year gap between the 69th week, those are weeks of years, you know. If you're going to fool around with prophecy, a day can be a day, a 24-hour period, or a day can be a year, or a day can be a thousand, but a day is never a month, it's never 10 years, it's never... It's either a day, a year, or a thousand, and then it becomes so obvious as to which one God's talking about. But I recognize that Daniel had just been given an example that Jerusalem would be desolate for 70 years. And you could read into it that Gabriel says, in like manner, there will be 70 weeks. Well, there was no gap between the 69th year of the desolation of Jerusalem and the other one. And you'll not find any example in the Bible anywhere that a specific time period composed of specific time units had an unmentioned and unspecified gap somewhere in it. God just doesn't do that kind of sloppy work. He only do that over in the Pentagon or in Congress. And you'll never find in the history of all mankind that anyone would be so foolish that I'll be gone 10 years and he didn't show up till 100 years later and then explain to him, oh, there was a gap between the 9th and the 10th. Well, I guess it would work, but God just doesn't do it. But for the dispensationalist, this is great. It's just like having a yardstick with a rubber band on the last inch. You can just make it fit any prophecy you want. And the dispensationalist, you know what a dispensationalist is? He's the guy that if there's something he doesn't like, he just dispenses with it by putting it in the past or in the future. That's dispensationalism. They just dispense with about 90% of the Bible. Disgusting. But show you some calculations. Now, I had done a lot of calculations, and it kept coming up. I just couldn't get it to come out to be around 30 years A.D. that the Lord came and was manifest, that he would be manifest. And then, I don't know how this happened to you, but it did to me, that you read these things, that's all in Luke. Luke 3:1. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Caesar Tiberius, that's the time, 21, says, it came to pass that Jesus was baptized, and a voice from heaven says, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, that's clearly the manifestation of Prince Messiah. I don't see how you could say there's anything else. Now, these people knew that. Some of them figured it out. They didn't have to do near all the stuff I did to find out about it. But in the 23rd verse, it said Jesus himself was 30 years of age. Well, you can look very easily, and you find out that Caesar Tiberius... He started his administration at 11 A.D., and it was in the 15th year, so 15 add to 11, that's 26 A.D. At 26 A.D., the Lord Jesus Christ was 30 years old. I had heard there was an error made on the whole thing, but there's one thing you got to remember, that when you come from B.C. to A.D., you have to add a year, and when you go from A.D. back to B.C., you got to subtract a year. That's the reason we're in the... We're in the 20th century, and pretty soon we'll be in the 21st, and we're still numbering our years 19-something or other, because when you arrive at the first century, after 100 years, you're already into the second century, although you're still numbering the years 101, 102. Well, I hope you get the picture, and I've seen a lot of books that don't know that, so that's the reason I'm explaining it to you. That's the reason they come up with all sorts of goofy plans, because they didn't know that. Now then, here's the way Daniel's 70 weeks line up. Like Genesis 29:27, Ezekiel 4:6, a day equals a year. So 7 days would be 7 years. So there was 7 weeks, that's 49 years. Then 62 weeks, that's 334. And then the last week, seven, would be another 7 years. And that makes a total of 490 years. So that's the brief outline of that operation. Now then... And we have a narrative that goes along with it, but I just want you to see the figures. It says that from the commandment to build again Jerusalem, and always until Messiah the Prince shall be 6 weeks and 62, or 7 weeks and 62, that's 69. I always like to point out that the USA is right in the middle of Jerusalem. Glory to God. That's enough for a new church for sure. So seven, and there's your 69, and 69 years, 69 weeks would be 483 years to Prince Messiah. And at 458 B.C., Artaxerxes, you can read about it, gave the commandment to build again Jerusalem. Now the walls and the streets have been built, but not Jerusalem. The wall was built in Jerusalem, so that was 20. You do that flip-flop, and it's 25, comes out 25 A.D., but you got to add a year when you come from B.C. to A.D. and 26 A.D. Isn't that beautiful? And then there's another calculation, but I think you get the picture. I will show you this one because it's very interesting to me. I always like for things to be established out of the knowledge of two or three if I possibly can, but I never could get this one to fit. Nebuchadnezzar conquered Israel. Now, I know that 588, I chose that arbitrarily. I'll have to admit that. Because, as you know, you can pick up anything. I picked up anything from 604 to 604 to 780s and somewhere. So I'll have to admit that I picked the number that fit my chart. Okay? Now, a lot of people will do that and they won't tell you, but I hope you know your Bible enough to know that I did that. But it can't be off more than about plus or minus 2 years. I got it down to that close. And working at the Pentagon, that's close enough for government work and for rapture planning, that sort of thing. So, dear Brother Gordon Lindsay, and I don't want you to confuse Gordon Lindsay with the Schofield amplifier, by this another name. Hal Lindsay, he's just rehashing Schofield stuff. In fact, I was invited to fill in after Walter Martin died. He used to be a keynote speaker at one of the conventions, and they called me and asked me if I'd come take his place. And when I arrived out there, they said they'd called Hal Lindsay and said they'd like for him to come over and so forth, and that was a month before the convention, and he accepted. But about a week before the convention, he called back and said, what did you want me to talk about? And they said, well, we'd sort of hoped that you and Speed Wilson could debate the scriptural basis for a rapture. And he very quiet and said, I'll call you back. Well, in about 2 hours, he developed a scheduling problem and couldn't come. I think those characters know they haven't got a scripture to stand on. God have mercy on them. But Gordon Lindsay, in his book entitled God's Plan of the Ages, and it's most revealing, very good, he did some fantastic calculations. He said it took 60 years to get Jerusalem desolate, to make it desolate. And Chuck referred to that this morning, that they left behind caretakers, and you can read about it in Ezra and other places that they did. But Dr. Lindsay didn't amplify how he got that. He just stated it back in the some dates and the chronology and whatnot. So I picked it up, and sure enough, you take 60 from 588, you get 528 B.C. Now, that's when the 70 years actually began. Because you can see some of the people have been in captivity already for 60 years. I was reading an article the other day. He said some of the people were in captivity for 130. He didn't amplify it, but he's right. Well, 60 plus the 70 is 130. But he didn't amplify that. So that's when the 70 years began. See how important a little word desolate can be. And 70 years, and so you take the 70 from it. You end up with 458 B.C., the end of the Babylonian captivity was to begin. Then the 69 weeks, you subtract it. That's 25 A.D., and you have to add a year coming from B.C. to A.D., and there's that 26 year. How about that?
According to your chart, tomorrow will be 1995.
That's right. You go back, if you trace it back to where Jesus was born, he was born 3 B.C. Well, you say, well, that's four years difference. Yes, but you're going from A.D. to B.C., so he was born 3 B.C., so the year 2000 will be 1997 from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that sort of throws the chart off a little bit of if you base it on Schofield and some of the others, all that chart stuff just didn't work out. And so now that I want to show you, it's just amazing. See, the 70 weeks has been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled every bit of it. And when Peter ended up over at Cornelius, that completed it, because Jesus was cut off in the midst of it, and all of those things that we mentioned before just didn't happen. I think most of you are familiar with this, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Be in 1988. Sold nearly 4 million copies. Then there's another one. The latest one was the 28th of October this year. It's just amazing how many people have read my book, which is Rapture, Prophecy, or Heresy, and they still give me a call more than if I want. Well, good night. Come on, I explained all that stuff. But I think some of them just bought it and didn't read it. Or if they'd read it, they didn't read it. Just looked at it. Listen to what this fellow says. And by the way, I was over here teaching, remember, the weekend that this was supposed to occur,
right.
September the 28th.
Right?
Yeah? I wrote him a letter, and I sent him a copy of my book, and I wrote him a letter and sort of jokingly said, that, you know, that missed it. The rapture didn't occur. But being a Texas A&M, a Texas Aggie, and I reminded him I was from the University of Texas, you really couldn't expect much more from A&M. But, yeah. But being a Texas A&M, a Texas Aggie, and I reminded him I was from the University of Texas, you really couldn't expect much more from A&M. But, yeah. Gig 'em horn, you know. Hallelujah. But listen to what he says on page 8. There is no reasonable doubt that from the Day of Atonement in 1988 through the Day of Atonement 1995 is the 70th week of Daniel. Big, bold print. This single fact is unchallengeable proof that this book is correct and true. Well, you can still go see his gravestone. He didn't fly away. And believe me, well, Dr. Van Impey, I haven't seen him on TV, I hope. Well, I'll wait till I see him again, but he's supposed to be gone by now. Because the way he calculates it is that all the saints have to come back with the Lord in the year 2000 or 2001, right in that time frame. And the tribulation is a 7-year period. So you turn 7 from 2000, that makes it 1993. And the common market or the European community comes into existence tomorrow, and he actually stated, we have to get out of here no later than 1 January 1993. Well, he ain't going nowhere. He'll be here. But people still support those people.
Yes.
Chuck Smith and a whole bunch. Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker. All those people were going to leave 1981, or was it 82? 81. I have Chuck Smith's book on it. Even Full Gospel put that silly thing out. 14th of May, 1981. They're all going to fly away. Demas Shakarian never did believe in the rapture. Never did. One guy wrote a letter and told him I should be forced to resign as an international director of Full Gospel because I wasn't saved because I didn't believe in the rapture. Next time I saw Demas, I said, Demas, what did you do with Don Tobias's letter? Said the same thing I did with the other three. I didn't know he'd gotten the others. At least the other guy's nice enough to send me a copy. He said, I'd just throw them in the garbage. I said, well, why don't you answer him? He said, how can you? Their mind's made up. Now, I want to do some quick calculations. See, everything I try to teach, or everything the Lord's ever led me to really teach, is to show that we're indeed in the last days of the end time. And once you recognize that you're not going to fly away, then you can expect to see some of these things. Now, so I figured Mr. 666 ought to be around. I hope you know there's nothing in Scripture calling a man Antichrist. It's only the first and second epistles of John, it's the Spirit. And John actually said there was many Antichrists even in his day. Jesus Christ said, if you're not with me, you're Antichrist, isn't it? You're anti, instead of, if you're not with me, you're against me. So, those of Antichrist, most of them are among us. Called tares or something like that. But, so, in the Greek, and you can get this out of any unabridged dictionary, under numerics or alphabet. Now, if you were going to set up a system, you will have to follow the biblical pattern of Greek and Hebrew, which means the first five letters will have to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, they didn't have the Arabic system that we use, but you can't do, the Greeks couldn't do mathematics without a 6, so you find the 6 down at the bottom. It has no phonetic value, but it is the number 6. So therefore, when we find this scripture and his number is 666, we know it is 666. It's not sigma, sigma, sigma. It's not SSS. And you'll see some of those in the Hebrew also. But three of them over here in the Greek. So I've been fiddling around with these sort of things and trying to work them out, and because I was convinced that I had found the guy finally, and but it wasn't working for me. Now, I know there were some others that came up the other night. Somebody said, how about Hitler? Well, this is, I guess, you can make Hitler make A equal 100. Well, now you're cheating, because the other had to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But if you make A equal 100 and Z or Z equal 126, then Hitler adds up to 666. But it's not scriptural. Then you'd be surprised how many people sent me this one, and the young man had asked about it the other night. Said, well, Ronald Reagan was 666. Well, true, but Ronald has 6 letters in it, his middle name Wilson has 6 letters in it, and Reagan has 6 letters in it. But it's not scriptural. As the Pentecostals make every pope that's ever been in make his name add up to 666. As David Duplessis said, if the Pope ever began to speak in tongues, the Pentecostals have to find a new Antichrist. Now we get down to being biblical. And I'm going to have to skip how I arrived at Mr. Kissinger and why I settled in on him, because we just don't have the time. But if you make A equal 1 and B equal 2, C equal 3, D equal 4, E equal 5, that's the way the others work. Now you always have to conform to that. Z turns out to be 26. Now, I didn't see what I'm showing there immediately, but I did find that Kissinger, K-I-S-S-I-N-G-E-R, added up to 111. And I just finished reading a book entitled The Naked Capitalist by Leon Skousen, and wasn't it quite interesting? And if you have a copy of it, you'll find that Henry Kissinger's biography appears on page 111. Well, I thought that was sort of a confirmation. If he can number the hairs on your head, he can probably number the pages in the book. So I figured I was on the right track, and when I got back to St. James Episcopal Church, I was showing some people this, and one dear lady said, "Well, Brother Speak, what it says, it'll work." And I said, "Well, what does it say?" She said, "Well, when we were kids, we used to play riddles. And that one says, 'And calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of man.'" Only the international version gets it correct, leaves the A out. Amplified says it's a human number. That's pretty close. But it's the number of man. Well, the number of man is 6. We all know that. So 111 times the number of man. The key to the riddle was the number of man. So it comes out to be 666. Now, the dear old man up in this works out. Dear old man up in Wilkesboro, Pennsylvania, after a full gospel businessmen meeting, went out to his house, which was customary sometimes. And they heard that I'd said something about this. This was way back in 1969, I guess. And he says, "What about that?" So I explained two methods of making his name come out 666. And he said, "If there's anything to what Brother Speed has to say, well, then saying about this man, then you show me God." That night he had a dream. And he laughed and said, "We can do that. He's about 80 years old. Your old man dream, young man had a dream." And so he saw Hines is his real name. It's not Henry. Hines offered Kissinger. He saw that he didn't see the numbers as you're seeing, but he saw the word Hines, 200. Then he saw Alfred and with the 4600. Then he saw arrows coming down from the 6 of the 62 and an arrow down from the 6 of 46. Then he saw an arrow joining the 2 of 62 and the 4 of 46. 666. And the next morning when he awakened, he remembered it very vividly, and he used both methods I'd shown, and it turned out to be the one that A is equal 1, Z or Z is equal 26. And as the dream faded, he heard a voice say, he did not choose the name Henry. So he added up Henry, and guess what? Henry comes out to be the total of 70, the Babylonian number. Mm-hmm. Like that. And up in Scarsdale, New York, talking to another group with a full gospel chapter, and the dear little fellow came up to me afterward, and I just talking on knowing the times and seasons, and he says, "Do you believe Mr. Kissinger is a man of destiny?" And I said, "You mean like Judas Iscariot?" And he laughed and he said, "Yeah." And I said, "I believe he is the man of destiny for the end time, and the 666." And he said, "Yes, but his name won't add up." And I said, "Well, what method are you using?" And he said, "Well, before I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was a Satan's priest, and my ministry was numerology. And as he said, they take the name with which you were christened, and that becomes your control number. So the way they do it in the occult is to write the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in a horizontal line. Then they write the alphabet under it, and you can see A, B, C, D, E, so forth. That's the first five letters. So we're still complying with the first five letters being 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And for those that would be listening to the tapes, under the 7, you'd get G as in George, T as in Peter, Y as in York, and so forth. You can line them up very simply. But I said, "His name is Hines Alfred Kissinger, not Henry." And the little fellow shut his eyes and he said, "Hey, that'll work. It'll come out to 111. And I said, "Yeah, and you multiply that by the number of man, and you got 666. Now, I hope you know a little bit about mathematics and probability, because in engineering we knew that in mathematical probability, you know, on your little security systems on your doors, they have about 10 numbers. Do you know the likelihood of your picking 4 numbers using 10 is just astronomical in the right sequence? Well, I'm trying to do it with 26 numbers, 26 letters or 26 numbers. So the first factor is 26 to the 26th power. That's 26 multiplied 26 times. I did it down through 12, and I had three numbers followed by 19 other ones. And I'm not even halfway. It's going to increase at least one digit all the way along. So it's mathematically just impossible. And I'm also shooting for a specific number, 666. So you have to multiply whatever that one came out. Well, you'd have to multiply that number by every number less than 666. And that gets pretty big, too. And then what do you think the likelihood of picking one name out of all the names in the world? Whether you think he's really Mr. 666 or not, you'll have to admit that the mathematical probability is just impossible. As one man said, it's just about like having an explosion in a printing factory producing an unabridged dictionary. This won't work. Now, down at Gerald Erskine's Christian Retreat, I never had been able to make it work out in Greek or Hebrew. But, Charles, if you saw the lady, you'd probably remember, it's a good-looking Greek lady that lived there on the estate. And she came up afterward one night, and she'd worked it out. It works out in Greek. Now, you don't have to do a name letter for letter. But she had used Heinz Kissinger. So Heinz in the Greek turns out to be alpha, iota, nu, zeta. And that totals out to be 68. Then Kissinger is kappa, iota, sigma, sigma, iota, nu, gamma, epsilon, rho, making 598. And then you add the 68, and there's your 666. And you don't even have to use a multiple. So now we're really homing in on it. Now then, that's the end, and you can get the tape. There's a complete one-hour tape just on that. And Glenn has it entitled Mr. 666. Now then, I was working on this buying and selling with a number or the mark of the beast. And a banker who was a director of the Full Gospel Businessmen in Danville, Virginia, sent me a printout of all the identification codes of the banks in the United States and all over the world, a teletype printout. And the International Clearing Bank in the number in New York, and you'll find it on some of your credit card chips. You'll see down here 0666. That's down there, and that's the code for the International Clearinghouse for your credit cards and everything else. The code is 0666. Isn't that interesting? As I pointed out the other night, the zip code for the Consul of Foreign Relations in Chicago is 60606, or 60606. So, for this whole thing to work, to be able to buy and sell with a number or mark, whatever you want to call it, turns out to be a computer. We got to have computers, haven't we? It just won't work without computers. So, taking A equal 1, B equal 26, look at that. The word computer adds up to 111 multiplied by the number of man is 666. How about that? And as I showed you the other night, S, or stigma in the Greek, is S, is 6, anything else. So, social security system, 666. You can't do anything without a social security number. You can't even claim your kids on your return without them having a social security number. So everybody said, oh, glory to God, we already got the mark. Oh, come on. If you'll get the teaching on the mark of the beast, Glenn touched on it, you can relax. Worshipping the beast that gets you in trouble, and it says very clearly twice that everybody on the earth will worship the beast except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you're out of it. And I didn't mean rapture, but it just doesn't apply to you. Well, with that little information from the banker in Danville, I realized that the world government is always the United Nations, and the Clearinghouse Bank is in New York. Look at that. You wonder where the modern-day Babylon is? N-E-W-Y-O-R-K with A equal 1, Z equal 26, 111 multiplied by 6 is 666. It is. Don't buy any real estate in New York. It's fallen, and it literally is. The city is just coming unglued. The plumbing and everything is just out of it, and everybody's bugging out. That is, everybody that can. And then real quickly, here's one. And a nuclear engineer, I had it right the first time. A nuclear engineer over in Ireland sent me this. You never know where these tapes are going. I got an order from Poland for every tape I'd ever made, and
sent it, and he even paid me, even sent a check on a New York bank for U.S. funds. And in the same way, I got one from this nuclear scientist in Ireland. So he pointed out that if you take New York, you use the biblical system of A equal 1 and Z equal 26 and the occult. If you take the biblical system, N-E-W, is 14, 5, and 23. He called this the Napoleonic system. I don't know what other name. But that system would take, and you add the value up, and then if that comes out to be 42, as N-E-W does, well, then you add the 4 and the 2, and it comes out to be 6. You keep doing that each time until you get a single digit. And you do the same with York under the biblical system. It comes out to be 69. So 6 plus 9 is 15, and then 1 plus 5 is 6. And then under the occult, which you're already familiar with, N-E-W, N-E, and W are each worth 5 each, so that's 15. 1 plus 5 is 6. And York is, comes out to be 24. 2 plus 4 is 6. So again, it's 666. How about Visa has twice as many cards in circulation as does MasterCard? Well, everybody knows that VI in the Roman numeral is 6. And everybody knows in the Greek, if you multiply it by the Greek, stigma is number 6. Then on the biblical system, A is equal 1 multiplied by 6. So there you go again. V-I-S-A, Visa, is 666. But I think the reason, I don't know the reason, I've been told the reason they chose Visa is because the word Visa is the same in all languages. I don't know. So there again, don't be frightened, don't be upset, because these are just things that will confirm that we're in the last days. And then the last, and I think the most damnable heresy in the whole thing, is the rapture doctrine. Did you know the devil and all the demons of hell cannot destroy the word of God?
Right.
But you and I can. Jesus said, your commandments and traditions, you render the word of God null and void. Well, the rapture doctrine completely destroys God's objective, is to have you to become overcomers and manifested sons and daughters of God. It just destroys it. So, and you'll never find an example anywhere in the Bible, it's all covered in the book, you'll never find anywhere in the Bible that God ever took his people out of tribulation. He always saw them through. How about the Israelites in the land of the Pharaoh? Daniel 11. I think the favorite ones in mine, and I think the end time saints are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Praise God. You remember the story. The guys that threw them in were consumed.
Yes.
The tares were burned.
Yes.
But the same fire that consumed the wicked set them free. It burned the ropes and bonds out off of their hands and converted a king.
Yes.
Their God is God. So. And when all these things begin to happen, just like it was in the Pharaoh, when the lights went out in the world all over, if they hadn't had the people over in the Goshen, he could have said, man, it's rough all over. But he could look over in Goshen and they had life. And that's what you're going to be. You'll be the witness right in the middle of all this. So after all that, the 12th chapter, I end chapter 11 saying, if anyone ever says that I'm wrong or in error on the subject of rapture, ask him how they spent the $10,000. And then I list 16 scriptures. Flat weather isn't going to be a rapture, and it don't require any interpretation. And would you believe that I have yet to receive anyone who has attempted to collect this? I made the statement at a meeting in Cleveland not so long ago. I said, nobody has ever attempted to collect this. A fellow in the back with his collar on backward, the bishop says, Colonel Speed, that's wrong. I tried and I couldn't, and I needed the $10,000. So I have to change it. No one submitted to me. I hope a lot of them have tried. The following scriptures state clearly and require no interpretation, there will be no rapture, that is, the physical removal of the biblical Christians from the world or earth to heaven. I will pay $10,000 to anyone or any group who will list an equal number of scriptures that will state as clearly there will be a rapture. And when the people used to tell me about the rapture, the one thing I always remembered was this, John 17:15, where Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that you do not take the believers out of the world. Glory to God. So if Jesus is praying, Father, don't take you out, do you think you're going to get out? Well, he's not through praying. He says, but keep them from the evil one.
Yes.
So if he's praying, don't take them out, but keep them from the evil one, they're going to be kept. And then that, I won't go through them. You know all those. They always talk about the one is taken and one is left. Those people can't even read. It says it was as in the days of Noah, when they were eating and drinking, the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man, so will be in the field, want to be taken. Well, it was the wicked that were destroyed. and the righteous left. Lot's even better. I thought it was funny. One of them in Lot said there'd be two men in the bed, one would be taken. They said one of them a Christian. I didn't know. And that's why. They said homosexual. It takes two to tango, even there. So you can't. That one won't wash. And I thought it was cute over in Luke, where the apostles ask a good question. Where are they taken? And then the Lord answers, well, wherever the buzzards gather, wherever the body is, there are the buzzards or vultures. King James stands alone translating that word eagles. So it's buzzards. So if you think you're the taken group, you're going to be buzzard seed. So, but you don't want that. And Peter says that Noah brings, the Old Testament is just loaded with it. Right? Psalm 23, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. No rapture in that. Psalm 145, verse 20. The Lord preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. Psalm 125, 1. I think this is cute. They that trust the Lord shall be like Mount Zion. It cannot be removed, but will stay forever. Can you imagine Mount Zion being raptured? Mount St. Helens tried it. Proverbs 2, 21. This is a good one. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off or destroyed from the earth, and the transgressors will be rooted out of it. And then Psalm 37, 34 says, you're for the wicked, but you can't find him. He's been destroyed. Well, then you say, what about 1 Thessalonians 4, 17? Well, that's very simple. The word apostle is translated, it appears 13 times, and it's translated 6 different ways. No wonder we're confused. But the most accurate understanding of the word apostle, and by the way, the other 12 have absolutely nothing to do with anybody going from the earth to heaven. The most accurate I've seen was a demonstration by people who were born and raised in Greece, and when I showed them out of the concordance, I copied it down, and I showed them the Greek characters of apostle, and I asked them what it was, and very briefly, took a while, but finally he just reached out and grabbed me and hugged me and real tight, and I said, no, it means to embrace. He said, no, it means you're one and I'm one, now we're one. Glory to God. That's what the Lord prayed. Father, let them be one as we're one, you and me and me and them, that the Father may know you have sent your Son. And a dear brother who was born and raised in Germany got Martin Luther's translation of the Bible into German, and he looked the word up, and he said, sure enough, says that word means the lesser is included into the greater. Well, you'll find the scripture in John that the lion apostle the lamb. Well, he didn't rapture the quicker, he ate him, and they became one. So it's close enough. And then the people will say, yeah, but in the Latin it says, well, I looked that one up too, knowing that there'd be a club. Robertson sprung out in the seminary club, and I said, rapture doesn't appear in any language in any Bible. He said, yeah, but rapio in the Greek, in the Latin. And I said, well, what difference does that make? The Bible wasn't written in Latin, except by the Roman Catholics, so nobody could read it. And then they made a mistake of teaching Martin Luther how to read. And besides this, the root word to rape. How's that for rapture? And then the other key word is air. We'll meet the Lord in the air. I hope you wake up the fact you're in the air now. Move your air real quick and you can feel it. But it gets more definitive than that. The word that appears there is A-E-R, air, with a dash over the E. And it goes like this. They spoke into the air. They breathed the air. So the air you're going to meet the Lord in is about nose high. Now, there's a rainus, that's where the birds and the fowls fly. But it's not that high. And they say, we'll meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him in heaven and so forth. Didn't say that. We meet the Lord in the air and thus shall ever be with him. Where? In the air. Right here on the earth. And therefore comfort you one another with all that. Now, the dead in Christ, they're not in the air right now. They're in the ground or somewhere, so they have to be resurrected first and after they come up out of the ground. They're in the AER. And their spirits are united with their bodies. And then we who are alive and remain. How about that remain? What do you do with words like that? You got to make up your mind. You're going to remain, you're going to go. And so they remain and they emerge and then we're all together. And the enemy of death is overcome, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Praise the Lord. Most of the Bibles do use caught up. However, the New International Version in the footnotes of the study of the NIV makes a note that this is the only scripture upon which the rapture doctrine is based. The NIV was honest enough to say it's the only scripture. So man, there's so many scriptures that are contrary to that. It's just sick. What do these people do? They just ignore them. And they have to distort a whole bunch of other scriptures. Man, the distortions they have to go through with this. They even get so far out that they get the Holy Spirit being taken out, and then they turn around and say 12,000 Jews are going to accomplish in 3.5 years that we haven't been able to do in 2,000, and all that goofy stuff. And, you know, I like what Dr. James Kennedy said, the average Christian is illiterate. And unless you're going to be informed and read the Bible, and I don't mean to read it, I mean study it and pray that the Holy Spirit leads you into understanding, you'll be falling for all sorts of goofy doctrines. That was one nice thing about being an Episcopalian. I didn't have any doctrines. All we had was tradition. But when you come to know the Lord and was baptized in the Holy Spirit, Ruth and I had this thing after she met the Lord and was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the next Sunday, we were having the order of morning prayer out of the 1929 prayer book. And did you know the Holy Spirit is mentioned 13 times? And we'd read it ritualistically, and never got it. And Ruth went, man, this is a new book. Well, that's where the Bible is. It becomes a new book once you quicken on the whole thing. I don't get many nasty letters. You'd be surprised how few nasty letters I've gotten on this rapture prophecy or heresy. I'm getting more and more letters. I've gotten two from two Assembly of God pastors, a Nazarene pastor, and a couple of Baptist pastors, and a couple of independents that all were strongly rapture, and they all said essentially the same thing. Once they accepted the biblical truth that there isn't going to be a rapture, pre-trib, mid-trib, any time, isn't going to be, then the Bible became a new, more understandable book. It does. You don't have to do violence to it. And if you can get over that stupid 70th week of Daniel thing, then you're well on your way. You cannot build or learn if your whole precept is based on a lie. Titus knows that. You have to base everything on a truth or it won't work. And so, well, praise the Lord. I'll leave here and then we'll quit because we're...
Mm-hmm. The righteous shall never be removed.
Right.
And the wicked shall not
have. Hallelujah. That's one of the 16 that I list very clearly. This is so clear. And of course, the pattern is so clear. Some of them, this is really disturbing. Some of these people will actually say, well, the Old Testament doesn't apply today. Well, what about 1 Corinthians 10:11? It says everything that happened to them in the past is actually scattered from us upon whom the ends of ages have come. And in Romans, it says that everything that was written in the past is for our admonition. And a beautiful statement, Nate Tommy said it, that the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. It really breaks my heart to see people walking around with just the New Testament. And some do, some really outstanding people. They don't have a sword, they have a very short dagger. Yes, Chuck.
See, when I was researching the book, I learned a tremendous amount of lessons.
Great. Yes.
I just finished reading the ending of the
Bible. Uh huh.
Holocaust, that's the King of God.
Yes, yes.
Justin Martin. They knew absolutely nothing of a rapture.
No.
Completely.
1830, yes.
There's something
I'm
working on now. Great. When 1 Thessalonians 4:17 mentions. Yes. If you back up to verses, it mentions we are alive and remain under the covenant of the Lord. There are only four
preachers. Yes. All four of them are used in 2 Thessalonians. Each one having a different
implication. Yeah, I know. On
that. Yeah.
Now concerning the coming, the same coming is the coming yet,
Parthia.
Uh huh. It will not take place until a man of sin is revealed.
Yes, that's Thessalonians.
I'm working on an
exposition
of how on earth an intelligent history of Greece can be caught up out of all the way.
I don't know.
Apostasy.
Yeah.
Always
been apostasy. Absolutely. They do. And you know, I just have a real quirk in me, and the Lord's going to have to forgive me, but if I find out somebody is a rapture teacher, I don't listen to a whole lot of yes. Because if he can't understand that, I don't think he can teach a whole lot.
I've never heard you refer to the name of the town
Rapture,
which
is
all kind of
hotel.
I heard
they talked
to
each
other in church. Uh-huh. In fact, he told me about a whole church tonight. Uh-huh. It's like nearly one as well happened in 93. You're all going to
get free in
93. That's a good slogan. But he was concerned recently with some of the material in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And the statement was this. What are you going to do about it? He said, I can't wonder about it. I have to read
Yeah, they'll talk about D.L. Moody believes in the rapture, but A fellow by the name of Bray sent me his notes when I sent him a copy of the book, and he said about a year before Dr. D.L. Moody died, someone asked him about the rapture, and he turned and shook his head, and he said, that doctrine is full of holes. And he said, well, you want to see it? He said, I don't have time. So, you and I know, too, I know preachers that know there's not going to be a rapture, but they won't put it down because they got too big an open. They alienate their supporters.
The bottom line is trying to
oh. Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah, he goes to the garden. Sure. I have a chapter in here on the origin of the rapture, which points out it came from Margaret MacDonald. David McPherson published an excellent book, expose on that, entitled The Great Rapture Hoax. He didn't approach it from what I did. He approached it from showing its origin and how queasy and goofy it really is. And David actually stopped by our home and spent the day with us. He's a very animated little fellow, and he's really exciting. He's doing battle with the Mormons, like Jews and Jehovah's Witnesses. He lives in Utah, so he's after him. He goes around and plants all sorts of tracks. And praise the Lord. Oh, okay, and then we'll quit. Yes, Brother Martin.
That's not what the Bible means. The Bible means
evaporated on pure water. And pure water is Holy Ghost. And it means that we're going to be called out into God's people. That is the sky. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. I'll just leave that there. By the way, everything I told on the 70 weeks and some other stuff is all in here under the title Blinding Doctrines of the End Time. And, of course, the rapture thing and all of that. And they're back there if you want to buy them. I'm sorry? Just on, not the 666 things, but the overheads, the charts I had on the Daniel 70th week and the temple thing, and also some, there's a whole lot more on the temple that in my father's house there's many mansions. Boy, what a distortion those. How can you get a mansion into a house? And you turn up, it's that word, abode. It's the word, it's the same word, but it's translated about six different ways in one place. I'm sorry? Yeah, plus the fact that what the Lord was saying, as far as I'm concerned, he was going to prepare a place in the body of Christ. In my Father's dwelling place, there are many dwelling places, dwelling here. I want to add a little to what Tommy said. I agree that we may be looking for a manifestation of the man Jesus Christ coming that may not occur. He comes to be glorified in the saints. There was one dear brother once said, and he wasn't teaching on it, but it really witnessed to my spirit. He said, you'll never understand what's happening at the end of this age and the beginning of the next age until you understand the principle that's stated in the Bible. It's first the natural and then the spiritual. He said, God came first in the natural, the man called Jesus Christ, and he established a spiritual kingdom. As Chuck said, it only takes two, a king and one, to be ruled on, you got a kingdom. But, and he established his spiritual kingdom. Everybody knows that. Jesus says the kingdom is among you and all that sort of thing. But now at the end of this age, the beginning of the next one, he's coming spiritually into a many-membered body to establish a natural kingdom. And that could be. Could well be. Well, we don't have long to wait to find out. I'm going to write Dr. Bracken and see if he's still here.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.